Because of the translation we use, which is the NRSV, we could miss the point in the reading from Daniel. The reading said, one like a human being. But the more accurate translation of that is one like the Son of Man. And let me unpack that for you now. This phrase, Son of Man, is one that, if you've read the Gospels, you're very familiar with it. Repeatedly, it works out to be about 72 times, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And when Jesus uses this self-designation, he has in mind Daniel chapter 7, the passage that Alfredo read to us this morning from the Old Testament. And if you've been attending Mass this week, you'll remember on Tuesday, we had another dream. It was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, who had this huge statue presented before him that represented different kingdoms. And now Daniel, during the reign of Belshazzar, who is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar, has his own dream. And what is remarkable about this dream is how in this nighttime vision, Daniel is able to envision the dominant kingdoms that will arise over the next hundreds of years, finding their fulfillment in the Roman Empire and the birth of the Savior. So let me just summarize again what Daniel envisions. He sees these four kingdoms of the Near Eastern world that will give way to the Messianic kingdom. The first is the Babylonian Empire, depicted by this winged lion. Within the Mesopotamian art of that time, the Babylonians were often depicted as a winged sphinx. And from Babylon, it comes to what's known as the Persian Empire, represented here as having these three ribs in its teeth that it is eating. And we know from history that these three ribs represent Lydia, that was defeated by Persia in 587. Don't worry, there will not be a test on this. You don't have to remember these dates. Babylon was defeated by the Persians in 539, and Egypt was defeated by the Persians in 527. And then the third kingdom is represented by a leopard, and this leopard is indicative of Greece, that then went on to dominate the world with remarkable speed. And this leopard has four wings, representing the four generals of Alexander the Great, who inherited his vast empire. And then the fourth kingdom that Daniel envisions, he describes as this beast of great magnitude. And of course, this is representative of Rome. And the 10 horns, representative of 10 Caesars. And then in the midst of all of this, we're told that there is this little horn that comes forth that has an arrogant voice. Now, because tomorrow we're going to celebrate the feast day of St. Andrew, we're not going to hear the next part of Daniel chapter 7. But if we were to read Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, we're told of this arrogant horn, this little one. As I looked, the horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. We understand this little horn, this arrogant voice, to be Nero, who indeed did prevail over the church around the year 66 AD. In the book of Revelation, Nero, whose numerical value, if you added up his name, equals 666, and we read about this in the book of Revelation in chapter 13, that this is the one who comes out of the sea and utters haughty and blasphemous words against the Lord. Now, all of this we need to have in mind because it shows us biblical prophecy. How Daniel, living hundreds of years before in a dream, anticipate what is going to happen in world history. But then as the kingdoms of the world are coming up and going down, coming up and going down, Daniel is given a vision of the kingdom of heaven. And what he actually sees is the throne room, where the Ancient of Days, who is God the Father, is on his throne. And Daniel says in these night visions, there is this one like a son of man who came to the Ancient of Days. And listen to what Daniel says. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. Now remember those four kingdoms that he sees, these earthly kingdoms? All of them are destroyed. Even Rome itself would fall around the time of St. Augustine in the early 5th century. But this kingdom, the one belonging to the Son of Man, is an eternal kingdom. Remember on Sunday, and I've said it I think once at least this week, that on the 11th of December in the year 1925, Pope Pius XI instituted the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. And throughout this week, we have been reading passages from the book of Daniel that talk about the vying of two kingdoms that are vying for our allegiance and want to have authority. And as is always the case, the kingdoms of this world seem much more dominant, much more powerful, much more in our face. But here's the message the church wants to leave to us, and why Pius XI understood we needed a whole week of liturgies that focus on the true king and his kingdom. That the world that we live in is in one form or another always in chaos. But you and I, as the church, we are to look to the throne room of heaven, where the one who we can trust is reigning. The one that we can trust has a kingdom that is eternal. And here's the beautiful thing for us as Catholic Christians. As we come to the end of the liturgical year, we affirm that every kingdom in this world is going to have an expiry date, a best before date. But when it comes to Jesus and his kingdom, it never expires. And that's why we pray every single day, and why Jesus has told us to do this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because you and I are those who, like St. John the Evangelist, understand something that he wrote in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where he said, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Now that reign, we believe, will become visible after the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's the beautiful thing about the church's teaching, that as we celebrate his universal reign this week, with the beginning of Advent, we will remember again that Jesus will come a second time. And what we have to affirm by faith, that Jesus Christ is our Lord, the King of the universe, one day we will fully experience, we will fully see the one who is the true King, the Son of Man, seated on his throne, whose kingdom will never pass away.